You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're real farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Recording, so
remember when you smelled like pee all the time? That was fun. You don't smell like pee anymore.
We are recording this.
Oh,
that's
who are you talking to?
Justin.
Justin, remember when you smelled like pee all of the time?
Maxie smelled like pee because she kept on peeing and then rolling in her own pee when she was a puppy.
She's an angel. Leave her alone.
And then she
wants to smell like pee.
That's
what
she
wants
to
smell
like. It was a bonding moment for
you. Ready to party?
We are ready to party.
Oh my god, are you ready for a summertime slam?
What can we do? 5, 4.
Welcome to the shit show.
No.
Wayne's World.
Hello, everyone. It's us. Welcome back to Cage
Match. Yeah, that's the name of the podcast. It's okay. I've forgotten the name of the podcast.
I actually didn't forget, but I wanted to come up with something more clever, and then it was just gone. Not more clever than our name, just something that was clever that didn't make any sense. So the whole world would be confused and be like, did I tune into the wrong podcast?
And
no.
Chances are, yes, you did.
Yeah,
but please stay.
please sit down. The pool is nice and open for everyone because it's summertime.
I don't want to talk about pools right now.
Oh, sorry. Oh, some of us don't have pools.
Well, some of us broke their back trying to fix their mother-in-law's pool yesterday.
Justin's like laying flat on the floor.
Crying.
The mic. We're like, we have a boom mic over the top of him.
Yeah. We have traction.
No pictures, please. No pictures.
So this lovely voice is your friendly neighborhood God of Mischief, Loki. Also joined with my cohorts, Moida.
That's me.
And Justin, who needs like a cool nickname, I think.
So my internet handle for years and years is the Painted Man.
That's like a lot of syllables.
It
though.
Is, but.
Painty
McPainty.
Justy. Painty
McPainty. My great grandma. Justy.
Oh, Justy.
Justy.
I used to. My mom called me Bubba growing up, but I don't want to be Bubba.
I love Bubba.
Oh yeah.
I shouldn't have told you that.
Oh, no, Bubba's pretty standard. That's okay. That's like very. That's shrimp. Also a
my one
vibes.
Cousin who I only talk to a few times a year on the phone. Usually, just like catch up with her, but she still calls me Bubba. Oh, my Bubba! That's what she says to me every time.
What about
Kristen? If you're listening, what's up?
What about shrimps?
I do like shrimps, but they are bugs, from what I'm told.
Shrimps is bugs.
What about scrimps?
Scrimp.
Are scrimps also bugs?
Scrimp. Yeah, scrimps are also bugs.
Mm.
They're all bugs.
Yeah. All bugs.
And I eat them all.
We used to call Cyrus Pooter.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's also a nickname for vagina.
Is it?
Yeah, you never heard of a pooter?
No.
As a owner of a pooter, I don't think I've heard anybody call it a pooter.
Similar to cooter. You've heard cooter.
No, I don't know that one either.
Don't lie. I've definitely heard that.
So anyway, we're actually here to talk about Nick Cage, I think.
No.
Who?
Definitely not. Sir Nicolas Cage. I dumped
him,
sir.
No,
he's
not. Wait, I want
to
shout out. I just learned that, so we have a mega fan named Keith out there, who's a friend of ours, and
yeah.
I didn't even know that he listened to our podcast.
Yeah,
Keith.
Yeah, he has his own movie podcast.
Yo, so Keith, what's up, man?
Yeah.
You're really good at mopping the floor as well.
Yeah, he mopped the floor as a brawl breaker.
Yeah, and I'd like to invite you officially to join the guest sometime soon. So.
He stopped listening to us after he met us.
Yeah,
you went from, like, Justy... Bubba straight to like bro Justin. You're like,
what up, dude?
Yo, hey, Keith, so. What up, man?
Hey,
anytime
man.
You're free, why don't you join us on our podcast as a guest?
We got a brewski, you know.
You love a brew.
We'll touch tips. Just the
I mean,
tip,
I
want to
bro it
it's
up
okay.
too. I'm on the bro side of things.
Listen,
we love Keith. Though.
Listen, losers whine about doing their best, winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I learned. Yeah,
Carla was the prom queen.
Right. Yes, she was, indeed. So if that's a bit of a clue to anyone who knows this movie, we are going to be talking about The Rock today.
The Rock, the 1996 action.
Not to be confused with Dwayne.
Yeah, which also I do love as well.
Oh, fair.
That really, Dwayne's my Johnson.
Lord. So yeah. So it's like summertime now.
Summertime.
I feel like to me it's officially summer once it's Memorial Day. Like to me that's, I know it's not officially for like 2 more weeks or something.
I don't know. You mean as far as like the moon cycles and the solstices go? Yeah.
I think once it's above 75 degrees it's summertime.
Okay.
In my mind.
In Pennsylvania.
To be fair, then it was 70. February it was summer.
It's been summer since February.
I feel like when school is wrapping up.
Yeah.
And like the kids are done this week.
I know. I actually bumped into your son walking out of the gym looking all buff today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I was getting McDonald's, so we were on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
It's about balance.
He can eat, though. He'll pack away
some
McDonald's.
Well, to be fair, I was just buying a frappe for my lovely wife.
Yes.
And I had to drive to another McDonald's because the frappe machine was broken in our town.
I don't ever believe them.
They were like, I can make you a shake, but we don't have the frappe. I was like, why do you have different machines for that? What the fuck?
Yeah, I feel like it should be the same.
It's a blender.
Right?
It really is just a blender.
You want me to bring my blender over? Yeah. I'll help you.
You don't got an immersion blender, my dude? You fucking liar.
Yeah, he didn't have school today or tomorrow.
He
didn't
have any cash, actually, because he has no finals.
Yeah, but he has to go Wednesday and Thursday at his cash.
Cash has something every day after this.
Yeah.
I think he only has one on Wednesday, but he has 2 tomorrow and 2 Thursday, I think. I don't know.
And then it's all sorts of chaos.
Yeah, I don't know. He just didn't have to go to school today, so we went out to breakfast with his grandpa. So I was like, man, that's nice.
Oh, nice. Go breakfast with my grandpa?
I slept in to the extent of when I had to be at work, which is better than the 6:30
I worked from my bed with a laptop because I hurt.
Yeah, I can't do that. I've tried.
Oh, it wasn't very pleasurable either. Yeah, no. It was hard because... And then every time I had to get up to get something, I'm like, yeah, so
my back, old lady eyes.
Tomorrow, that back is better tomorrow, but.
Welcome to old talk.
Yeah, so talking about other stuff.
Just our kids and our backs hurting. I have a pinched nerve in my neck. It's been rough.
You lovely ladies sitting here with me both had your first bout for the season, Rockstar Roller Derby.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Well, one of you won.
Somebody won and somebody didn't. It was such a good game, though. It was such a fucking good game.
That was crazy. It was insane. Like, back and forth to the end.
We won by two. Riot Makers won by 2 points. And that was it. And like,
and that
it
was after
insane.
An overtime jam.
And that was after an overtime jam. That
fucked up penalty.
I personally, as the announcer could say, could have been contested with some weird hijinks. But hey, you know. No, in all seriousness, it was a really fun battle.
Yeah, we had a ton. It was so much fun. It was, I was like cursing Loki at certain points because the lineups were so fucking good that I was just like, does she have to make it so hard?
I do have to make it hard.
I just want to get these points.
I have to say, like, by the end, everybody looked so exhausted.
Oh, yeah. It was a tough game.
The
everybody
first
really
one
played.
Back is always rough, too, because, like, you think you remember how intense it is to, like, play a full game and you get through, like, halfway through the second round and you're just like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
That's how I feel when I get tattooed. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot how much this fucking hurts.
No problem.
Yeah, it was a solid game. And Kung Pao won fan favorite blocker. I was so fucking proud of her.
So cool.
Yeah.
She deserves all the accolades in the world. That bitch is like on top of it all the time.
When she's been like, I don't know, kind of like one of your heart and soul around forever, you know, one of the leaders of your squad for years.
And she's finally getting the recognition
Kung
she Pao's deserves.
Only 1 year less than I am. So. Yeah.
She's awesome.
For 12 years and been coaching side by side with me and Deeds for the last like 7 years
a long
I think.
Time,
90 years. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And but you have another bout coming up. So when this podcast comes out, it'll be later this week.
Yeah.
That'll be the debut of your third team. Thrash Pandas.
Thrash Pandas.
The Thrash Pandas. They were, debut game. Some of our biggest players from X-Force and
Riot Makers. The captain
of
that team, I think I know her.
I don't remember who it is. Do you remember who it was?
She was a real dumb bitch. She was really pretty, but super dumb.
Hon, they're talking about you again. That's my wife.
None other than Clown Marie Baby.
Who you guys have gotten to hear in 2 of our episodes now. Yeah. So
I'm so
excited. That'll be really fun. And, I always want to, before we kind of jump into the episode, always remind people that the Skate or Die Film Festival submissions are open. For this month specifically, if you use the code PRIDE, you get a discount on your submission.
Also, we locked in some really good food vendors already. So
I don't even know this. This is like my manja's
headed in there, and I believe Umizoomi's.
Oh, well. They're both awesome.
They're fucking incredible, like Puerto Rican style empanadas and Italian sloppy food.
Oh,
like,
yes, sloppy Italian food. I had their sausage.
Good.
If you know what I mean, and it was fantastic. also, if they're there, there might be side bets to be made about whatever's going on, because I swear I could have put action on the Derby bout through that. They were literally asking, "Hey, is anybody taking action for this?" I'm like, "Oh, jeez."
They're gonna be at Skate or Die.
Yeah,
I have so this cool problem after a bout where I forget that food is like a requirement for the human body, like I don't really eat.
Yeah, they're also gonna be there.
But Skate or Die, I'll be able to eat it. Very good. I'll count down for that.
We'll have to like get somebody to specifically order you something.
No, Peach did. Peach came to me and was like, "Can I get you food?" And I was like, "I don't know what food is."
Yeah.
And she's like, "French fries at least." And I was like, "Fine."
They actually had really good
I ate like
fries.
Three of them. Yeah,
they were really good.
Those
fries.
Were Umizoomi's, right? They were the ones that had the fries? Or?
Both of them did.
They both did, yeah. Okay.
I don't know whose fries
both
they ate.
Different styles of fries. Yeah. Both fucking incredible.
All I know is I gave both of my kids and my third child, Anakin, who does a lot of things with us. He's not really my child, but I gave them each $20, and they had to come back for more because they kept wanting more food. And I was like, "I only have like one more 20. Split it between
three."
They're
so good. It was funny to watch the people go from like one truck to the next. Yeah. I think they were worried that they were going to have competition and not sell, but like everybody was like going between the two trucks. So they'll be there. So our next bout is June 15th.
Yep.
And Umizoomi's and My Manja will both
so
be there.
So cool. I'm stoked they're both going to be there. Awesome. And so we did announce in the last episode we were doing a podcast on Knowing with my buddy Austin. Unfortunately, we weren't able to schedule that time, but fortunately that it didn't happen because I misunderstood what month we were supposed to be doing this movie, so it actually worked out, because this is Loki's mom's birthday month.
Thanks, universe! It is. My mom's birthday is June 15th. Not to make it sad, but my mom passed away 2 years ago, very unexpectedly, very traumatically. So the reason we're doing this movie for her specifically is there's a set of films in like the 90s that are all action movies, many of them Nicolas Cage, that I watched with my mom on repeat, The Rock being one of them. She loved it. She loved Nicolas Cage. And then also the addition of Sean Connery definitely took it to the next level for her.
This is before we all knew that Sean Connery was a bad person. I always forget to, like,
he's a bad person.
Oh, he's a wife beater, big time.
I mean,
but we didn't know this until.
That's something really mean.
But we didn't know this until like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, that's when it all came out.
Oh, yeah.
So at the time, when this movie was out, we were like, "Oh, yeah, we love Sean Connery."
I think I was too young to, like, know about that.
For the purposes of this film, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's phenomenal in this movie. He is.
Because I have a lot of good things to say about him.
No, he's okay. He's a phenomenal actor. Yeah. Like, we can't, like, there's like, nobody can put that down.
Yeah, you can be a great actor and still be a piece of garbage.
Yeah, we're just gonna transport ourselves back to 1996.
When we didn't
know
this.
For the sake of this podcast.
13 years old, this not a care in the world.
I'm 6 years old. And
6 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude.
Every time you do that on a podcast, the two of us are like, "Oh, dear God."
What's funny is that, like, at this age, right, the difference doesn't seem like anything. But when you're, like, 13 and I'm, like, six, I'd be like,
can you imagine 6-year-old me hanging out?
Yeah, get out of here.
Like, I just realized you're only a year older than my little sister, who's, to me, my little sister. But, like, nowadays, she's really not because she's in her mid-30s. You know what I mean? So, like,
get out of here, you little dweeb. Mom, come get murder. She's eating my chips.
So we're in 1996.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is one of a handful of movies you watched repeatedly with your mother back growing up.
That is correct.
Did your mom have the hots for Nick Cage, too? Or Sean Connery? Was she more
I mean,
of course.
I mean, Sean Connery, yes.
I feel like everybody
like
had the hots for Sean Connery.
Yeah. I don't know. So I was 13, so it's not like my mom was like very conservative with her feelings. So she wasn't like, my mom would say things like, "Oh, he's good looking."
He's like, she put like a Sean Connery mask on your dad's face.
Doesn't he look nice? He looks nice. Like things like that. Like, she wouldn't be like, damn that boy is fine. He's so hot.
I'm going to get that.
So I'm going to guess probably like a little bit. I think it was the eyes and also his like quirky little smile. She had like, because I mean, it was like The Rock and Con Air.
He kind of was the Hoff. The heartthrob of that.
Yeah.
That
we also have like John Travolta in Face Off too. So it was like a win-win.
John Travolta.
So John Travolta.
And that's one I'm excited for us to get to some point, because I feel like the two of them did a really good job acting as each other, which was really cool. So like, that's a really fun thing to get into at some point. Yeah.
So did your mom particularly like action movies?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, she did.
Damn.
I'm like trying to think of ones outside of Nicolas Cage. I'm like Apollo 13, which also has Ed Harris. So you're like an Ed Harris fan.
Who's also amazing in this movie we're about to talk about.
So that is another one that was like on the list.
Yeah. That's
and then there was like kind of sad movies like Where the Heart Is.
Oh,
the Walmart baby movie. But yeah,
I love that movie. That was my favorite movie.
But these ones in particular, like these action movies, The Rock for sure was one that was like, let's just watch The Rock. And I was like, okay, I was in.
It's funny, like when you bring up like movies you watched with your mom, I was trying to think of movies like I watched with my mom growing up. And like, my mom was Hallmark movies. Like, and to this day, she watches Hallmark movies.
I'm so sorry.
But we have two anomalies from the Hallmark movies, and they're her two favorite other movies. And it's so funny because if you're not aware, my mom's a pastor, a retired pastor.
Pastor of disaster.
Yeah, she is the pastor of disaster. A big, big super fan of Rockstar Roller Derby. And Pastor Jane, as it were, she her two favorite movies besides all the Hallmark movies are Pretty Woman, Not a Prostitute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Dirty Dancing, about Dirty Dancing. And I love that because I was like, two R-rated movies with lots of sexual content. And my pastor mom just loved them.
I think that like perfectly describes your mother.
Oh, yeah, it's fair.
Like, your mom is the most balanced person I think I've ever met, because she's like, I love Jesus, but I also welcome these queer roller derby kids fair. In my house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I think she's so good. My mom has definitely transformed through the years, as I think everybody has, obviously. Yeah. But like,
she's super cool.
At this point, like, she's the one grandparent of my kids that my kids, like, she talks to my kids about sex.
Yeah.
Which none of the other grandparents, they're all like, but no, my mom will be like, oh, so do you masturbate? You know, like, and my son will be like, that's weird, but you know, like, kind of like, you know, like,
that's good though, she's like showing it's not something to be shameful about.
Right.
That's
good. No, it's funny. I mean, I don't know if she's asking that. I was going a little for, well, I don't know if I was, I don't really know.
I mean, she's making it open. That's really nice.
I was trying to see if there's other ones outside of that realm, but yeah, they really were all like action movies. Cause that's awesome. Like scrolling, it's like Twister, Armageddon, Apollo 13, friggin' Mission Impossible, all the Mission Impossible movies.
I like the first.
That's so funny to me that was. I got to get back to them.
Waterworld.
Yeah.
Yo,
that's
Waterworld
so funny.
Wildly underrated.
I agree, but we could sidebar. We'll do like one side podcast just on Waterworld.
That's fine. We're gonna have to do a side podcast at some point.
When I think of your mom, I think of your mom screaming Tammy whenever you said something dirty. So it's just so funny that she loved this.
The Rock
this
has
movie.
That teeny tiny little 15-second.
Sex scene.
Yeah. And my mom, like,
with the absolute cheesiest dirty talk I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. It's so nerdy. But, like, my mom would, like, fast forward.
Yeah.
Through that 15 seconds.
Yeah. Until I got older. Because I was like, 13 when it came out. Right. She was like, don't look, Tammy. And I'd be like, okay.
That's the mom I know.
I have no idea what they're doing.
You're it's like, funny how the second I knew when we were doing the last roller derby bout, I knew it was one of your siblings before they even said, because they said, go, Tammy. And I was like, oh, that's Phil. Like, you know what I mean? It was just like, yeah.
That's funny.
But the violence was fine.
That's kind of the way we are with our kids.
I mean, I carried that over to Cyrus too. I've let Cyrus watch pretty much. I remember when like the first Deadpool movie came out.
There's a lot of sex in
that. I screen now less if you know, because you can look everything up what it has in it. But I would screen like an R-rated film before I would let him watch it, and then like if I knew where something was. So Deadpool literally only has that one
scene.
It's a long scene, but that's the only.
You're
part
right.
Of it.
It's so, one lengthier, pretty graphic scene.
We just. Skip over that part. So I don't have to explain pegging to my 12-year-old son at the time. Yeah. So, but I carried that on, Mom.
Well, actually, it's funny because my kids are finally watching the first Deadpool now, because I with the second one, they had the PG-13 cut called Once Upon a Deadpool, which actually I like better because it's got Fred Savage and it's like a pretend Princess Bride setup.
That's amazing. It's cute.
But And they keep bleeping like things that aren't actually bad. Yeah. And yeah. Just to fuck with you. I love that. But I think we have a movie to talk about. So The Rock.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Obviously, a movie that holds a really important, you know, place in your heart. What about you, Murder? I'm assuming this is not your first time you've seen this movie.
No, this is the first time I've seen this
movie.
Oh,
no way!
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, when I say my hatred of Nick Cage runs deep, it runs very deep.
Because this is one of, like, even people I know who hate Nick Cage, this is one of the ones.
Well, so, like, the whole thing was obviously, like, before I was, like, movie age.
When you were six, we just found that out.
I was six, and I was like, I hate this fucking guy. No, but I think we've, like, gone over this before, like, where the hatred stems from. When I was, like, 16, every time I went to the fucking movies, there was 12 Nick Cage previews. And that's why I hate him so much. And they were all terrible. They were all horrible. So,
So, what years would this be?
2006.
Yeah.
And it was, like, that's when he was started doing his divorce movies, as I like to call them.
Oh, so this is when he's paying off his divorce. Okay. Yeah, a lot of really bad stuff.
He was just, he was in every single thing he could get into. So, there was, you know, hatred because of that. And then also my friends would be like, we have to go see this Nick Cage movie. I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I hate things that my friends like.
So I think going back now, it's nice to see like the error where he was actually fantastic.
Yeah.
So I think that's where this is. Like the mid-90s, I think, is a really good sweet spot for him.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think you're going to find a lot of the stuff in this era when we come to it is going to be his better stuff. That's true. So I'll read the IMDb synopsis. Just
no, I love doing it.
All right. I was just trying to give you a break.
Don't
you
take my job unless you really want to.
So rewind.
This, however, is one of
Loki. What does it say in IMDb?
This is one of the longest run-on sentences. It is. However, to give you the synopsis for this film, a mild-mannered chemist and an ex-con must lead the counterstrike when a rogue group of military men, led by a renegade general, threaten a nerve gas attack from Alcatraz against San Francisco.
You know what's wild? Is that actually, grammatically, I think it's correct, but it is a really, really long sentence.
It could have been broken into two sentences, probably.
Well, it's IMDb. They don't like to do that.
IMDb.
Yeah, like after military man period.
So were there any really scathing Rotten Tomatoes reviews?
So
scathing reviews.
Scathing.
It's a good word.
It's going to be scathing. There's a video about it. So I went through them, and there was, like, I had trouble because I actually did really enjoy this movie. So, like, the bad ones, I couldn't even pick because I couldn't even, like, remotely agree with them.
Oh, that's fun.
So I will go over my my top ones overall. 1.5 star. This movie is so bad.
That's all.
How dare.
That's it. 4 stars. They don't make them like they used to.
What?
That's it. That's the whole thing.
What does it mean,
2 stars. Oh, so cheesy, but fun action romp. But only 2 stars? That's very weird. 0.5 star.
Oh. Whoa.
I love this movie.
What?
But I hate Michael Bay.
Oh.
Why did he have to make this? I can't like it anymore.
That's not fair.
Also, you know how you were saying this is a good era for Nick Cage? This is also a good era for Michael Bay.
It really is.
Because, like, this is, like, you know, 2 years after, or a year after this is the first Bad Boys movie. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a lot of real, it's before he went full Michael Bay. Like, you know, where he got, like, he got so much control that he could do whatever he wanted. No one was holding him in check. I think that's what the problem was.
Michael Bay's final form.
He was still like the, what is he? Pikachu before he becomes whatever, or the Charizard before he's Charmander. I don't know what the fuck is which. I tried to make a metaphor.
You're doing really good.
So, I'm doing really bad.
Overall, the temperature for this movie is 67% on the tomato meter, so that's, you know,
pretty high.
Independent.
I mean, not people. Real high, but pretty
high. But 85% audience score, which is actually pretty good. And a lot of the reviews were talking about the balls that this movie had. The balls showed up a lot in a lot of the reviews.
So. It has a lot of balls.
So everybody agrees that there's lots of balls.
A lot of green balls, specifically.
Yeah, a lot of balls. Yeah. It's got a lot of balls.
What does it mean to have a green ball? Anyway. So Loki, since you picked this, like, you know, let's start with kind of some of your overall stuff as far as what you really love in this movie. Just overall, what stands out for you?
Okay. There's just silence. It's just dead air. So let me start by the reason I like this film is a lot of people like reason for not liking like big action films.
Okay.
So every action sequence is almost entirely over the top.
Oh yeah.
And that's exactly what I want, right? I don't, like, for this type of movie specifically. So, like, it is a Michael Bay movie, so you're getting the over-the-top explosions. Right. There's
But there's something grounded chases. About, like, the story behind it, I feel like, too.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a very real threat.
Okay, yeah.
Which, the way they approach all of it as far as, like, what the threat is and the way the government is handling it, it's a little feel. It's kind of on the nose.
Yeah.
Keeping it a secret, not sharing it with the public, which, like, I understand that to an extent. Which is
so for people not familiar with the movie, right, that's the motivation of the main villain is that they don't honor the memory of all these people who were killed in action, and they tell lies to their families.
Yeah.
And he wants to vindicate that.
I think that's the other part about this movie is that you can relate to the villain.
Yeah, oh, big time.
As much as you can relate to, like, the heroes in the film. Like, and everyone kind of had, aside from Nicolas Cage's character, who is just, like, seems to be just, like, a good dude.
Yeah.
There, everyone else has some sort of little, like, sketchy thing about their backstory, but then you're like, oh, I get it, though. There's weird sounds coming from the other room or from my stomach. I'm not sure.
It's the dog, but it could be your stomach. I don't know.
But if we're going overall and not digging into like the little details about everything, it is a great 90s action film.
That's
it has
exactly
all
what
of
it is.
The components that you want for it. The special effects are actually really good.
They hold up.
Like, they hold up really well. Because I've definitely gone back and watched action movies and been like, oh, God. But I feel like Michael Bay used a lot of practical effects,
yes.
Which, like, that obviously holds up. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to explode a tram car in San Francisco, just go ahead and blow it up. And
as much as people hate Michael Bay, I feel like his effects, even if they're way over the top, tend to hold up because he spends lots of his budget on doing insane practical stuff.
Yeah, that was like the whole Transformers movie that he did. Like,
yeah.
People were complaining about how like his budget was so high because he was literally exploding robots.
Well, like when they found
shit.
Out,
yeah,
right. I think that was a big deal because they compared the total budget to the budget of the actors, and they're like, "Where did all the money go? Oh, it went to exploding shit.
Robots.
Yeah, exploding shit. Exactly. How about you, Murder?
Overall, like, I really enjoyed it. I was actually really pleasantly surprised. I mean, I thought Nick Cage was a fucking dork, but, like...
Yeah, but isn't that his character, to be honest?
Yeah.
I'm not mad about his acting, though.
You're right.
Like, usually I'm pretty pissed about it, but he played the character he was supposed to play very well.
Mm-hmm.
I loved, like, the nostalgic 90s action,
mm-hmm.
like, feel of it. It was, like, it felt very real. And I loved, there was like a couple people on Rotten Tomatoes that said like, the plot line didn't make any sense. I think the plot line made perfect sense. Yeah, and I think like the plot line had me like Loki said, like sympathizing with the fucking villain. Like there was parts where I was like, yeah, he should explode San Francisco. Like, fuck, like that does suck. Like all these people are dying and they're getting told that they died dishonorably and they don't get any money for their families and like they don't get a proper burial. They don't get anything. Like it was very real. It felt very like on the nose for how the government would actually, you know, handle things. And I also like the ending with the JFK thing. It made me chuckle. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a great film.
Yeah. So it's funny from the top view, like you guys are saying, like I don't think I have anything else to add because I think like I really like it. I hadn't watched it in a really long time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had been this long but I've been logging movies since 2015 and I haven't at least watched it since then. So like I know I haven't watched it in a good decade.
Like John freaking Jay from Rotten Tomatoes said, they don't make them like they used to.
They don't. but it's important when you get to watch a movie starring a Beatlemaniac.
And, oh my God, what a fucking nerd.
But I mean, to me, like, isn't the cast overall is insane.
The cast is insane. Dr. Cox isn't.
Dr.
For
Cox.
For 5 seconds. The cast is wild. It definitely, that's another thing that felt very like nostalgic to me. Is seeing all the actors, like they were all of the actors in all of the action movies of all of the 90s, which was really cool. And also seeing Sean Connery play kind of a dickhead was refreshing.
He's a very entertaining character.
He's usually supposed to be like charming and nice, but he's kind of just like, fuck you.
He does look stunning once he gets his haircut, right?
Oh my God, I love that part. He was just like, I won't tell anybody what I saw today. I just need to know, did you like your haircut?
That was actually, that guy was amazing. And that was also an actor I recognized. I'm going blank on his name, but there were so many people in this movie. I think for me, one of the unsung heroes of the villains was David Morse's character, like second-in-command guy.
Yeah.
I think he was awesome. But getting more into some of the specifics, because I don't really have anything to add about the overall, I want to first praise Ed Harris. Like,
oh, love God, Ed Harris.
He is so good in this movie. And he conveys, as a villain, like, his reasons for what he's doing so well that, like, yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And, like... And really, like you said...
He made me fucking sad when he went up to his wife's grave in the rain and said, I have to do something that I couldn't do when you were here.
Yeah.
And like that fucking made me...
And the fact that he was like, I've literally tried everything else and it has made like no effect whatsoever.
Oh my God, that like ripped out... Before I even knew his plans, I'm like, I don't know what he's doing, but it's going to be really fucking poignant. And it was.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for him the whole time. And the fact
that he waited for her to die so he would not jeopardize her life. Or like that is pretty crazy,
Like, insane. Yeah.
And, like...
Chills.
And, like, I know I'm jumping all the way to the end of the film, but, like, you find out he never had intention to actually...
He didn't want to hurt anybody.
...blow up anybody ever. And to the point where he, like, his men have to...
They called our bluff.
Yeah,
like, he said it was a bluff.
Exactly. And then the men turn on him and you know, kill him and try to carry out with the action.
Yeah.
And, like, it's him and, like I said, David Morse, who... initially challenges him on it, but then backs him up in the end. And then they both get killed, and then it's just crazy. And
I think what's great about the storytelling there, too, is they establish those two characters, which I think their character name, it's Fry and something else. It's Candyman.
Yeah.
And then a guy that has a really square face.
Square face and Candyman.
They kind of establish that they're kind of garbage humans.
Right.
From like the beginning. Right off the beginning. So for them to turn like that and be like, oh no, we don't give a shit. We want our money. We'll kill as many people as possible to get our money.
Yeah.
You were like, oh man.
And they have the one other one that's with them that's like reluctant, but they're like saying, go.
Crisp.
Take him. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
Like he like does not
want to
do
like
it.
Yeah, he like does not want to do it. I mean, well, because like technically you're still dealing with like Marines, right? So military men. And they're like, handcuff a general, and he's like, pretty sure I'm not supposed to do that. Like, you can see that struggle going on in his
head. That whole scene is great because as soon as they start to like say, well, you've been relieved, you know, of your duty, general, you know, his second in command turns to him and goes, no, you're still soldiers, you are gonna listen. And he goes, no, second that we started this job, we became mercenaries.
It's true,
and he's right.
Yeah, well,
that's
true.
Like the thing that I thought was like really like. It really like invoked an emotion in me, like, because I was like watching it and I was like, cool, blowing up stuff. And then we got to that point where like Square Bob and Candyman were like they like turned and like I was sympathizing with them too. I was like, could you imagine serving,
they just gave up their entire life and then they're told they're not getting a dollar.
Like serving an entire fucking country and just having every man that you serve with either have like a shady fucking death, didn't have a proper burial, their families didn't get taken care of, or they didn't get taken care of themselves. Like, could, like, for you to want to blow up a city, like, how desperate could you be? Like, how much trash do you feel like from your government to get to that point? And it really, like, got to me. Like, I started choking up.
I did not sympathize with those two at all. Yeah, I think they were just assholes. But love for you that you that you dug deeper. I thought that they were just, I mean,
they could also just be dickheads.
One of them's the Candyman, though.
But that's
Candyman and Square Bob.
Candyman has no problems killing people, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, he's killed.
It may be a biased opinion, bitch.
Yeah,
it's because it's Candyman and all I see is that.
So, since I started getting a little more specific, you guys have, you know, other characters, moments, things that you want to highlight that aren't Nick specific.
Let's talk about Michael Biehn.
Who is so much better than the last month when we saw him in maybe his worst movie of his entire career.
Yeah. Oh, he tried his best in it.
I just thought, I totally forgot that he was in it. And then when he shows up, I was like, oh, what a good transition from Deadfall. Because Deadfall was such a fucking disaster.
I forgot the name of that movie until you just said it. I had literally tuned it out.
I forgot. I had to look it up before I came here. I was like, what's that? What is that movie? Deadbolt? I don't know. But so he plays like the commander of a group of Navy SEALs that are sent in to go after the... Hold on. backup. General Hummel, Ed Harris,
yes,
has threatened San Francisco with rockets full of a poisonous biochemical weapon. It's VX gas. It's really bad.
Like, what they say, a teaspoon could take like 80.
It's like one of the little ball, one of the delicate string of pearls configuration. One of the little balls.
This is all from memory, folks.
One of the little balls, if it falls and breaks open, it will kill anything within 100 feet of it.
Yeah, that was about
so. And you know, there was, if you were going to estimate, I would say like 100 within each of those missiles.
Sure.
There's 16 missiles.
And they said if they detonate in the air and they go into atmosphere, it could take out the entire. They said it could take out the entire city of San Francisco.
Yeah, so we're talking like millions of people threat. Yeah. They're on Alcatraz, which is great because it's an island. It's also a prison. So
also known as the Rock.
Also known as
the Rock. Is that what the name means?
Yeah, like,
I've been there.
Oh, I have not.
I have been there on a tour. I'm pretty sure they actually filmed it.
Yeah, there. Oh, it's definitely at Alcatraz. Yeah.
And so there is a group of Navy SEALs that go in with our Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage to stop this situation, you know, so they don't have to pay the $100 million.
Well, and we find out that Sean Connery's character is the one person who ever actually escaped, but no one knows about him because they kept him secret.
Yeah, he doesn't exist, but he does, but he doesn't, but he does. But anyway, Michael Biehn is a Navy SEAL and he's fucking badass.
I
believe that he's a Navy SEAL and he's hardcore and then he dies. Yeah.
I love when he's like, I love the conversation between him and Ed Harris, who are so clearly good, like strongly ingrained military men. And he's like, you have to stand down. He's like, you know, I cannot do that. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and they're going, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah. And then like, there's like that moment where Michael Biehn like looks like he's like, oh shit, like I get it. Like, it looks like he's like,
yeah,
okay, he's snapping. Totally. I mean, he literally says that he agrees with him. He says, I
agree with what you're doing in some sense, but you know, like, I can't back down.
Just like a rush of like empathy over his face and on like that one phone call that they had. Ugh, I always
And you gotta love how like this whole thing is about them covering things up. And when we see the government, they're talking about how they can cover up what's going on so people don't know
what is actually happening.
Like, the only real bad guys in this movie are the fucking government.
So what we learned today, kids, is 100%. The U.S. government is shit.
Well, the bathroom scene is insane.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, like, they get into the Rock, back tracing, back stepping, back.
Retracing
Sean Connery retraces his steps back into the Rock, the route that he took to escape.
Yep.
And they get in there, and they go in through the bathroom, and, you know, like, it's... They do not have the high ground.
No, they Anakin. Are... The shower room has... All around it, everybody can feed down into the showers, probably for safety purposes when it was designed. And
the absolute slaughter that happens, I mean, really is accidental because...
Like, somebody nudged a rock by mistake.
Yeah, something fell, somebody thought someone pulled a trigger, and they're firing. But the entire time they're firing, like, General Hummel, Ed Harris, is screaming ceasefire.
Yeah,
and covering his face, like... Can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, because it was clearly never his intention to hurt a single another one of his brothers in arms.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so sad.
I think when he, that's why Ed Harris is so good in this.
He's so good.
He, like, grabs the, like, night vision camera and, you know, like, obviously the FBI and all the government
people
are watching it. And he's like, how dare you put me in this position? And I was like, damn, boy.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, Dad. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's just a movie.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think one of the scenes that I really appreciated was when, like, towards the end when he, well, one, when Sean Connery meets his daughter and, like, Nick Cage was like, oh, your dad's actually helping us with something. Like, we gotta go. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was very sweet. Later, and, like,
jumping the gun into Nick Cage, like, always.
It's okay. It's
but
okay.
Then at the end, when he let him go, it was so sweet. I don't know. Well, I think I was way more emotional about this movie than maybe I should have been. But so, I thought it was a very well-written movie.
Yeah, it is a really well-written
Sean
movie.
Sean Connery's character is essentially a British spy, right?
Yeah.
Mason.
Who didn't really do anything quote unquote wrong to be an Alcatraz.
Yeah.
No. So he stole a bunch of secrets on film of a bunch of really high profile
Government people. Secrets, yeah.
Government secrets. Like, not even just our government. Like, governments everywhere.
Yeah.
That apparently, what was it, J. Edgar Hoover was supposed to have been in possession
of? Yeah, he stole actual, it was Hoover's files that he stole.
Yeah, yeah. He stole, like, the Area 51, like, alien footage.
He had the evidence of the aliens and like, the JFK and all that, yeah.
So they caught him. Obviously, like, MI6 was like, we've never heard of this person. And everyone was like, we don't know who this person is.
Even though we sent him, we never heard of him.
They specifically say in the movie that they have held him without trial.
Yeah.
This entire
time. Like, for what, like 30 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
They're like, oh, like, we'll let you go if you tell us. And he wouldn't give anything up or tell them where he had stashed the secret information. So, like, I mean, yeah, he stole something, but...
Right.
He's not like a bad dude.
No, well, and he stole something conceivably probably for MI6 or whoever he worked for.
Yeah.
He was probably doing it for his government's job. Like, it was not like
exactly.
So he's also clearly super ridiculously well trained.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, so. he's a straight up murderer.
Definitely covert ops.
Yeah, and we see that. We see that. No, that they don't reveal that portion of it to us till later. We just think he's the one guy who got out of Alcatraz at first. We don't realize he was there for being a spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that all said, God, I don't think there's a single person in this movie that I would recast. Like, I think everybody
is
perfectly.
Yeah, they were all really good.
Like, it's just, it really, like, the other nerdy guy who I know as the High Fidelity nerd,
oh yeah,
and who's like Cage's like intern his or something
partner,
like
because
I think he called him like something
intern.
In training or whatever. He's actually kind of hilarious. He's like, you think I'm gonna stick this fucking needle into my chest?
Look how long it is.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They also don't fuck around with the action movie, right? You're like, they start the movie and then they're in a gas chamber
about to die,
diffusing
as
a
their
C4
suits
bomb.
Are melting from their suits are melting from the gas. That's
yeah,
oh
like
my
2
gosh.
Minutes after he called himself a Beatlemaniac.
Yeah,
like, right. All right, so let's get into the Beatlemaniac then. Okay, the Beatlemaniac himself, Nicolas Cage. The first thing that I have as a note is that he's a Beatlemaniac.
Yeah. I think it's just a music maniac, too, in general. There are a lot of music references.
Right, and he talks about... And I think that's also a true Nick Cage thing, because if you hear him in interviews, he's obsessed with especially old music.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's probably the kind of thing he likes to weave into his characters when he has, say. Because I don't think, like... The script probably didn't necessarily call for him saying, I'm a Beatlemaniac. Who knows? Maybe it did, but it just feels like a quirky thing he would have probably put in. But soon after that, when he finds out that his girlfriend is pregnant and they're having the one sex scene in this movie, which is the least sexy sex scene. Not true. It's little sexy. But what's ruined about it is everything that he does as far as pillow talk is the worst I've ever heard. Like,
he's a little dork.
He's a dork, and he should just shut his mouth. That's what he should do.
She obviously loves him. Maybe she likes it.
She must like him being like, oh, well. And then
don't yuck her yum.
But he answers the fucking phone in the middle of having
to.
Sex.
He has to.
No.
It's so worse.
I'm never answering the phone until we finish.
Ooh,
sorry.
You do not work for a biochemical specialist and the
FBI. I do, and I've never done it.
There's probably a special number, and it's like,
probably.
If this...
It always goes through.
I would answer the phone.
No,
I'd answer the phone if murder called.
You make her listen to you finish.
I'm like, hold on a second.
Just set the phone down. What are you doing right now? Billy, can you stop for a second?
Yeah, what's up? What do you need?
I can't stop! Anyway.
Billy listens to this podcast and he's like, she does do that. That is scary.
It's intimate.
But no, I actually have it in all caps. Sorry, but I'm not answering until we finish.
Yeah, there you go.
I literally wrote that in my notes.
I mean, that's fair. That's a good statement to make for you. But I think Stanley Goodspeed...
He's not me. I'm not Stanley Goodspeed. That's a fair point. I'm not. I'm definitely not.
Yeah, he's a dork. That tracks for his...
It does seem like it.
Yeah.
His character.
I think I was talking to Murder a little bit before like we started recording, and I was like, this is kind of...
You cheated on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think you were sitting here, but you were ignoring us.
That's right. I was probably trying to get the levels working on the microphone. Right.
He's like, ugh, women talking. No, but he... It's kind of that same era of Nicolas Cage where even when he's like a villain, there's this level of charm to everything that he's doing that you're like, yeah, okay. Like,
yeah, I do think I was a little bit charmed by his dorkiness. Like the fact that he did not curse. He said a-hole and butthole.
He did, yeah.
And oh, I have notes about those.
People would be like, fucking shit, are you fucking kidding? Like, literally dropping the F-bomb liberally, and he was just like, you a-hole! And I thought that was so charming. I was like, he was
raised not to curse, clearly,
he's
right?
He's a good boy.
Yeah, even his little Nick Regis were not...
No, they were. Yeah, he was like very controlled, subdued.
Yeah, very controlled, and I actually did appreciate that because usually I'm just like, ugh, he's just going balls to the wall. There's no fucking talent in that. Like, that's usually what pisses me off about his like rages. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, there's nothing special.
Well, he
about
commits
it.
To this character. But, he's like, a dork.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
but a you can straight tell, up nerd. Like when he's acting and he's like saying a-hole, like you can see him right. like. Almost like in his eyes that he's holding back all mm-hmm. of this rage. And I think that works for the character. Mm-hmm. And I think it works for like just overall like acting performance. It was really a really good performance.
And true to his nerdiness, right? When he tries to pretend he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
It's only for like a second. And then he's like, okay, no, you're right.
Yeah, he's I've only
have 3 days of weapons training. Yes. No, yeah. I can't do this. Like,
yeah. Well, it's interesting though too. And I think probably so, Sean Connery's character, like being a spy, could read him like
right off the bat.
But I think there was a level of appreciation for him as well because, okay, he's not a trained soldier. He doesn't have a lot of weapons training, but dude diffuses bombs with like chemical components in them and precision. So he's clearly a badass in his own way.
Yeah, I did love that comment when he was just like, oh yeah, I'm a field agent, blah, 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 blah. And then Nick Cage accidentally said something smart. He's just like, oh, you're intelligent. You're not a field agent. Like immediately.
Oh yeah,
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 like,
with the quote.
Oh, I see that you're intelligent.
And then he goes, oh, you're intelligent. So if you're a field agent, what? And he's like, anti-terrorism. And you can see his wheel spinning like, oh, he's one of the nerds in the anti-terrorism.
Yeah.
And well, it's funny.
I'm a chemical super freak.
Don't you think his nerdiness and like the endearingness of it is why Sean Connery's character Mason is actually willing to stick with him and work with him? Because
I feel like
if he was actually like his bravado was real and not fake, and he was not a nerd, and he was not so like. I think he would have just abandoned him earlier.
Well, yeah, I think that like he did lie about his identity because. I think you could tell, like, he was forced to. Like, Nick Cage was, like, told not to say what
said,
he
don't,
was.
Don't mention you're a chemist.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, other than that, he was very forthcoming with him. Yeah. And I think that's why it worked and why he trusted him. Because he was just like, oh, like, you're lying because the government told you to. I'm used to that. Like, well, but you're like actually
that,
not bullshitting
that
me.
That final straw was, like, when he defended his Sean Connery's character to the daughter.
Yeah.
I think that was when he finally was like, all right, I'm with this guy.
Yeah.
You know? And even when he tried to walk away later.
Like, super smart move, because he's like, then he has pull on him.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I did this for you, now you need to do this for me. Yeah. So, like, he's obviously, like, I mean, he was obviously extremely intelligent anyway, like, adding that additional layer of, like, okay, I got this too, man. It's not just...
So that is the scene where he first says a-hole because he pulls him aside and goes, listen, you a-hole, you know, and but I did mention in as we were rambling in the beginning, a couple of other quotes. I did say this is a Sean Connery quote, but it applies to him talking to him. It says, losers whine about doing their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. And because he said, I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And,
but then he goes, well, Clara was the prom queen. He's like, like, you know, it's kind of like...
Yeah, he delivers that badass. He's like... And he says it, so he just looks up at him, and he's like, Carla was the prom queen.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
And he's kind of like, all right, well, okay. Cool. Touche.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite one is... I just can't even read this. How in the name of Zeus's butthole did you get out of your cell?
Oh, yeah. Because I think that information would be pretty helpful right
and
now.
Right after that, he gets broken.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, and there's also, like...
Chain.
We didn't talk about that before, but there's, like, the... comedic breaks without being like
overly
right.
cheesy. Yeah, that's what I really they were like naturally
it's,
like
it's not one of those like it's grounded right like it yeah. feels like because like we have comedic breaks in life, they're not always forced, you know, and so like when it feels not forced,
it was like in the same mood. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this is a comedic break in frustration, this is a comedic break in sorrow, you know what I mean. Like
this is like this Nick Cage is like his Cage rages in this, just going back to that. Or like, that's how I get mad at like what he gets upset about or what a normal person in that situation would finally get to the point of like yelling about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
100%.
Another reason this is a murder friendly Nick Cage movie. No weird
accent. Yeah, it's just his regular voice.
He just talks like Nick Cage.
I love that. I think that I think it works for him. I think Nick Cage, listen to me.
Listen. Sit down.
Look into my eyes. Just use your regular voice. It's fine.
Her eyes are up there, Nick, her eyes are up there.
Over here. Okay. Use your regular voice, man. It's great.
You have a good voice.
Yeah, he has a pretty good voice. Yeah. It can be boomy. It could be gloomy. It could be toomy and doomy. It could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think there are...
You kind of lost me on that one, just so you know.
No, I mean, he can have, like, a higher, like, pitch. Jimmy.
Yo, she brought out the snort, though.
She did bring out the snort.
I know you were talking about quotes, so...
Yeah.
Not necessarily... Well, yeah, they are quotes, but there are pieces of this movie, and I did watch it several times when I was a teenager with my mom, but that's still 20-plus years ago.
Right.
That have quite literally stuck with me my entire life, and they're in that weird little space in the back of your brain. I guess if you're a neurodivergent, if you're like neurotypical, this doesn't happen to you, where they come out at most random moments ever. One of them being when they finally get caught in the rock, and the soldier that grabs Nick Cage says, "I'll take pleasure in gutting you, boy."
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's not the part that sticks. It's the very next scene when Nicolas Cage...
They get locked up in the cages.
They're locked up in the cells. He is laying on the floor of the cell, and he just goes, "I'll take pleasure in gutting you, boy. I'll take pleasure in gutting you, boy." And he's like, "What?" Yeah, he's like, "What's wrong with these people?" Which is such a good question, because who says something like that?
Right.
And I think it's amazing because the line is so ridiculous anyway. And then they go ahead and make fun of how ridiculous that is and like how problematic of a person you have to be to say something like that. But that has stuck in my head.
Is it Tony Todd who says that to him?
It's one of those guys. He's in other action movies too. I would have to.
It's one of the other dickhead guys though. Like he's like.
He's not as important as the other ones. Okay. He doesn't have as many lines. He's like the sniper.
Bob? Oh, the sniper guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Square Bob?
No, it's not Square Bob.
No, it's one of the other ones.
He has
ones
like a baby face. Yeah. He has a little bit of a baby face.
I think it was the Candyman where he was just like, Nick Cage is like, "Do you like Elton John's The Rocket Man?"
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, "I don't like that soft shit." And then he was just like, "Oh, well, I only mention it because you're The Rocket Man."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You fucking dork." But it made me actually genuinely laugh.
But it feels of his nerdy character.
It does feel very genuine. Like, a lot of the cheesy lines, I was like, it does feel very genuine for him.
When they're in the sewer before they get busted and he pulls the gun on Sean Connery. And they're, like, radioing him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "You're not going to pull that trigger." And he's like, "Why don't you test me?" And, like, Sean Connery, like, grabs him in a way that he points the gun. Like, it's pointing at himself. And they're like, "Do you have the situation under control?" And he's like, "Not yet." And it's, like, and so really funny. Great.
He's literally talking to them as he's got the gun pointed under his chin. Yeah. And he's like, "Not yet."
I do also like a lot of the lines that Sean Connery has where he's just, like, very blunt. And, like, there's no like artful way that he's saying anything. It's not very clever. It's just like, "Womack, I knew it was you, you piece of shit."
Yeah.
Like, he's just like pissed off all the time. I do like that side of him because usually like at least the roles I've seen him in, he's very charming and he's very clever and he's very smart and soft spoken.
Yeah.
And like, this is just like, "You piece of shit."
Well, so I think at one point he says, "What, are you enjoying this?" And Char Connery's like, "Well, it's better than my normal day."
Yeah, right?
"Normally, I'm trying to avoid gang rape in the bathroom and da-da-da." And then he goes, "Well, that doesn't happen as much these days. Maybe I'm losing my sex appeal." And I just think, like, what a random comment. But he sounds like a guy who's just rambling. Yeah, that's great.
He probably doesn't get to talk to people a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
I just love that he has, like, zero tact in any of the lines that he has.
So I think I think we like Nick and we like this movie. I don't think we've had a lot of negative to say. Is there anything that you like specifically don't like in this movie? Because I honestly couldn't think of something. I think it all works the way it's done.
The only thing that I thought was like kind of dumb was like when they brought Carla.
Your mouth.
When they brought Carla to the command center, like, I understand like keeping her in a safe space, but like, wouldn't you want her in another room and not, like, in the radio where, like, her boyfriend or fiancé is, like, dying on the fucking radio? Like, sure. I was just like, why do they... I get it was for dramatic effect, but, like, that really, like...
Yeah, in what while world? We're bombing...
Yeah, in what world would that happen? Yeah, you would put her in, like, a safe room.
There's no way
like,
she'd
in
be
a hotel
there.
Somewhere. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
You'd put me in that fucking room. I'd be like, you put me in that room right now. I don't give a shit.
But knowing Carla's character, she probably did fight her way to get in.
Yeah, she was... She was a feisty lady, yeah.
She did not give a shit. she drove the getaway car in the end. Like,
that's true.
Away from the church.
That's true. Oh my God. I love that they
yeah.
So since we're getting towards the end of the discussion here, so how does the movie end, Murder? You said you specifically love the ending.
I love the end. He writes on a piece of paper, like
this. So Sean Connery writes a
piece. Yeah, Sean Connery writes on a piece of paper and he gives it to Nick Cage, and it says something along the lines like, in the desert, in this church, Saint whatever, whatever.
Kansas City,
like third pew, left leg,
hollow leg,
and he goes, and they're running out. The priest is chasing after him. Carla's like running, you know, driving the getaway car.
He
hops in. He takes the film out and like has the little looking glass, and he's just like, "Honey, you want to know how JFK died?"
Yeah, I do love that. That's pretty great. So, but I want to know how JFK died.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they don't tell you then.
Yeah,
there's shit in the movie.
Yeah,
just teasing us.
Just tell us. But yeah, overall, like, I want to shit on this movie.
Right.
Because I always want to shit on Nick Cage because it's always a good time, but I have no reason.
I want to isolate that clip. I always want to shit on Nick Cage because it seems like a good time.
Again, don't yuck her yum.
I know, you're right. We're not about yuck and yum here. So, all right. So in our Cage-o-meter, right? So I'm going to recap here. We got the good movies. Con Air, Renfield, Army of One, Kick-Ass, and Willy's Wonderland. The bad movies, Mandy, Trapped in Paradise, The Ghost Riders, The Mixed, Unbearable Weight, Wild at Heart, National Treasure, Peggy Sue, Color Out of Space, and the fucking worst, Deadfall. I love that we so created bad. Our own character. Yeah, we had to create a new category for that one. I feel like it's a good. I mean, we can't really, right?
I think it's up there with Con Air
it's
for
me. It's a good.
Yeah.
It's a good. I mean, we don't have a great yet, so.
I mean, I have a biased opinion. But if you give it anything less than a 4, you are not honoring my mother's memory.
God damn it.
So 1 through 5, what's your rating?
5.
Fair.
What did I give Con Air? I wish I knew. But it's,
I don't
it's
remember
up there
anymore.
With Con Air. I would say.
I think you gave it about a 4, probably.
I would say higher. I would go like a 4.8.
Wow, 4.8. Creating, like, I'm pretty sure we had decided like half was good enough, okay. But.
Then I'll go a full 5.
Okay.
You don't have to.
No.
I thought you would go 4, and then the extra half would be specifically for Becky.
All right, so.
I would go 4.8, a full 5 for Becky.
So I'll think of it in the way I rate Letterboxd movies, and generally, this would have probably going into this in the past, I probably would have said it was like a 4. But this particular rewatch, I liked a lot more. So I'm probably a 4.5.
Yeah.
But I'll give it a full 5 for,
Becky
as well.
Becky.
This, right now, right at the top. It is our number one movie so far on the podcast.
Hell
it is
yeah,
The
brother.
Rock.
Yes.
Hell yeah, brother. It deserves to be there. Let's pick a terrible movie for next.
So we haven't decided, so I'm not going to clue everybody off to our next movie yet because we have not had a chance to discuss it.
It's top secret.
But let me give you a hint. It has Nick Cage in it.
Oh.
Nicolas Cage is in it.
It was made somewhere between 1980 and yesterday.
Yay!
Okay.
It has another guy in it.
At
maybe
least
a girl.
One other guy. Probably a girl.
There
or
could
two.
Be a lady in
could be a dog, could be a cat.
Anyway.
It's actually Garfield.
No. Absolutely.
Me and Justin in unison. No.
I can't do that thing.
Could you imagine if he actually voiced Garfield?
Oh, well, that's something I'm interested in, and we might have to have a nerd discussion about that. But do any of you have a particular Cage rages to share? Anything that you really just want to vent on before we roll?
Oh, I don't know.
Like I wouldn't say like I'm happy because I feel like shit because of my back, but like it's not something I have a vent about. It's like I just have to feel better.
Yeah. I think I've been consistently going to therapy, so.
Oh, yeah. So you actually are doing this with someone who's paid to listen.
Yeah. I got nothing.
That's cool.
I've had a pretty solid week.
Okay. Yeah,
nothing crazy. Cool. I got sunburned. Pretty mad about that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was my own fault, so, like, how much rage can I really have?
It's like one shoulder and her scalp.
You didn't put on any sunscreen?
No. Well, here's the thing. I wasn't planning on being in the sun, everyone, just before. I'm usually very good about it. I'm fairest of skins.
Mm-hmm.
I went to boxing, you know, to train up to fight Murder. And then I was talking to my son's grandmother in the parking lot in the direct sunlight for what probably was close to 2 hours.
Oh, that was not intentional.
It
just happened.
It was, yeah, very unintentional.
You're
and
a
then
parking lot person. You
I am a parking
it.
Lot person. You can
oh,
get,
that's true.
Yeah, I can
she
keep a conversation
park.
I know, because
in a parking
my
lot.
Wife gets home at like 1 a.m., like, twice a week because she hangs out
don't
with you in a parking lot till then.
It. Yeah, that's what we have doing, a lot to talk about. The parking lot.
Listen, I don't care. I don't at practice, I don't get to talk to anybody because I have to like run the show. Pass. So yeah. I only get to talk afterwards.
I don't complain. I just tell her I'll be asleep by 10. I'll talk to you
later.
I
just don't want you to think she's doing anything untoward, which she definitely is. Oh, hey, Perky.
Hey, hey. The Thrash Panda's captain has just arrived.
I love your voice crack.
We also got a snort out of Justin today.
What? We got a snort.
A snort.
Oh, yeah, they got a snort out of me. I feel like that was contagious. I never snorted before her.
Yeah.
And now I snort.
Yeah, I would blame Brookie for anything. Yeah.
So, as we roll out, guys, thanks for hanging out with us and like a full, almost a full hour episode, but that's because it's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
And we probably could have talked for much longer about it, too. Check out the Rockstar Roller Derby, you know, the ballot that's going to be the weekend following this release, and if there are still tickets, pick them up, but they do sell out early.
We sure do.
Our Bazaar on June 23rd.
Or do both. Why?
Ringing Rocks Roller Rink, and if you attend the Bazaar, you will get special pre-sale fundraising bout tickets at a special pre-sale price.
Oh my god, I love a deal.
I love a deal. Who doesn't love a deal? Come eat some food, shop at local artisans, see some adoptable dogs, get
buy
some
stuff from Brookie.
Buy some stuff from Brookie. Buy some stuff from Murder. She's selling some stuff too.
I'm not selling anything, but I will be the sales associate.
For the right price.
Justin's selling his body.
Call us about that later, though.
Yeah, anyway, there's more details on that. You have to be a Patreon subscriber. No, we don't actually have a Patreon. We should have a Patreon. All right, we're going to stop rambling and say thank you, guys.
Hold on, I got one thing.
Oh, yep.
Let me wrap this up.
Wrap it up. It's your job.
All right, so June 15th is my mother's birthday. And it is also Raven's birthday, yes, which is cool. And it is also the day of our bout. So on June 15th, in honor of my mom, have a shot. She wasn't a big drinker. So if you really want to go classic, because you know me so well now, you have to get this, what is it? Seagram's Peach Bellini.
That was her drink.
It is 95% sugar.
And you're going to love it.
And you're going to love every
They're
second of
it. They're about a buck a bottle, so it ain't expensive.
Yeah.
If you can't handle super sweet stuff, I suggest taking a shot of it.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
It's obscene how sweet it is. But yeah, have a Peach Bellini in honor of mom.
Whoop, whoop.
We love you. Yeah. Watch the rock.
Love you. Bye.
Perfect.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.